Yeah, I'm Dave and I'm an alcoholic, and I failed, and I believe it. You know, I don't really need to say that, you know, but I just say it. I've actually not said it that many times in secular meetings, but you know, and that's okay. But I do like sharing and doing a major, and a lot of people, oh, I'm fucking. Yeah, I actually do, because today I like practicing speaking, and I like sharing my story, and I like, you know, I like the fact that I've got a voice, and basically, you know, I can use it, you know, and I'll hopefully you'll hear a compare and contrast and how it was, you know, by what I say. You know, this is just a number, you know, so hopefully you'll see where I've came from and where I am now. You know, my last drink was in 1994, February 1994, so next year it'll be 28 years. I just look at that as a number. You know, I honestly do, you know. I suppose if there's a scale of introverts and extroverts, I'm probably an introvert, but more so an ambivert today, you know. I've no real qualms about showing my flamboyant side and, you know, that around certain people, you know, because I've developed a trust in that and realising the ground never swallows me up. I never burst into flames when I kind of let myself go. But yeah, I'm probably more of the kind of introvert, quiet kind of person. But I was really unhealthy, quiet-wise. I was acutely unhealthy introvert, you know, to the point where I probably should have had something addressed. I should have went to some... I should have got it addressed, because I was like a mute, but I was probably developing certain coping mechanisms that really weren't helpful for me, but I thought they were, you know, they were protecting me, you know, protecting me, really. But unnecessarily. So what happened was, back in the early 80s, this is where everything kind of took on a colour, but not particularly of a great, you know, whatever, vibrancy. I got involved in football hooliganism back in the early 80s. And, you know, and it was a buzz, to say the least, if anybody knows about that there. And I look back now and I kind of cringe. It was idiocy. It was kind of glamorous in one sense, but it was really, just looking back now, there was absolutely no purpose to it. But it created a lot of chemicals through my body, you know, a lot of adrenaline and a certain sense of, I don't know, I wouldn't say achievement, but, you know, the camaraderie, you know. But as a result, I put myself into situations that were really insane, you know, insane. Any person with any sense of self-esteem and worth would not have done the things that I did, you know. And there was guys who were beaten into, you know, 10 guys, you know, and I wasn't that person. I'd be the person who would run into 15 people, 10, 15 people, and get beaten up pretty badly. It's just a fact. It's all it is. You know, do I regret that? Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And when you're lying in your bed, you've got stitches in the back of your head, it's not the greatest feeling, you know, but you go back in amongst your pals and it's like a little bit of a badge of honour, you know, to do that, you know. But, you know, inside I was crying, you know, inside I was like, my soul was crying out for somebody to hear me, to be seen. And so that was back in, I first started that kind of part of my life. You know, that was back in 1981. And shortly after, I was in this party, and it's bizarre how it happened, but it did happen, you know. I don't share this often, but it's just a fact. I'm not going to labour too much in it, because there's no need to, but there was an assault that happened, and it would have become a rape if I hadn't broke free. But any healthy person would have spoke to somebody about that. You know, they would have, you know, opened up and told somebody, kept it inside, you know, and it was like, fuck, who cares? Who gives a fuck? I'll just muddle on, and, you know. So, there was a suicide attempt after that there as well. Didn't tell anybody about it, you know. My dad found me. And it really was, I look back on it now, it was a cry for help. It was like, but it was something to the universe, or something of, I want you to see me. I want to be heard. And it was like, nobody's hearing me. It's like, nobody's seeing me. So fuck it. But it wasn't really, you know, obviously I wanted to do it, I would have jumped off a bridge, that's probably, but, you know, So my dad found me, didn't tell anybody about it, and I carried on with my not so merry way, you could say, you know, and developing not particularly good habits. And that's what I see today. For me in my life, you could call it recovery, discovery, creation, whatever, you know, I hear a lot of these words banded about, but for me, it's just a new life that I've given myself, really, you know, because I believe I can go into different directions in my life, you know, and I've chosen to go in different directions. It's just changing habits, different habits, you know. Some of them take a little bit longer to develop. Some of them are like, bang, fuck, yeah, I'm glad I did that. Some of them are just like, fuck, I need to just trust the process here. I need to just trust this process. Because my gut feeling today is my guiding factor, you know. I'm not saying it's right all the time, but that's what I need to use. I used to stay in my head all the time, and it was safe, but you know what happens? I know what happens when I sit on the fence. You end up getting splinters in your arse, and that's what happened all the time. You know, splinters in my arse because I was playing it safe. I really can't relate to any glamorous stories what I did when I was drinking and drugging, because there's none, you know. Lots of mental health issues that was never addressed. Obviously, somebody tried to commit suicide. You know, something not so great about them. I ended up on a few occasions injecting, you know, amphetamines, and fucking hell, it's like bizarre looking back now. But that's what I did. But that really screwed my nut in. I would never recommend that to anybody. But paradoxically, I remember on a train and a football match, saying to a friend, "Oh, Jim, you've got to try this. Oh, yes, what a feeling it is." And you know what he says to me? He says, "Dave, don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that." But it was like I was trying to be this kind of macho kind of drug user who's like, it's like the cringe now about that. Like, but anyway, we've all got a story, and that's my history story, a little bit of wordplay there. So after a repetition of feeling miserable continually, I peed the bed regularly, not just once a month, regularly. Now you would have thought that would have been the reason to stop drinking, the reason. No, just continue with that there. And I suppose that was me kind of building up a little bit of shame, that inner shame to not let anybody see into my dark side. Because I realised I've got a dark side that I never wanted anybody to see or tell about. You know, I'm not going to tell you how I managed to dry it out, right? But anyway, that's fucking... But I did anyway, and I managed that. I'll tell you, it was an iron. It was an iron, you know? Fucking hell, you know, how... Anyway, I'm not going to labour on that anymore. So that's habits, getting used to habits, getting used to feeling miserable, getting used to not telling anybody what's going on inside, habit. It got to the point where, and yeah, there is some cliches, platitudes that are rolled about in a fellowship that I kind of like. Others, you know, I get a mental palm to my forehead, but... the sick and tired of being sick and tired. I think it was a repetition out of there, and I just felt there's got to be a different way, there's got to be a better way. I was willing to explore that, you know. I just wanted a better life, I wanted a different life. So in 1994, that was when I had my last drink of alcohol, and it was actually over in Tenerife. I booked a holiday. I was working offshore on the rigs, and I went over, and I remember actually in the hotel saying to these guys from Newcastle in England, who ironically, I've got a sponsor over there who actually, I'm getting a bit emotional saying this, like actually. He's a really good friend, actually. Do you want to hear people kind of get emotional when they say sorry? I say, don't say sorry. And I'm thinking, why am I saying sorry? Anyway, Yeah, so he's a really good friend. And ironically, I'll try and keep going. there's another guy there who actually, I'm a sponsor. And I really love the way that I'm able to give something back to him in some kind of way since I've stopped drinking. Anyway, I go to a lot of meetings in Newcastle, or did, like, I remember saying to the guys in the hotel, see if I continue drinking, this is going to ruin my holiday. You know, and what did I do? I went back in the bevy. What happened? I ended up peeing the bed in the hotel, not the worst thing, falling asleep in broad daylight in one of the bars. And I thought, you know, that's it. This has got to be it. So that's where I went to my first meetings there. And and since then, I've continued to go, not because anybody's forced my hand by my back or done whatever, you know. It's just because it goes against my inner kind of nature, but it's become a lot more natural. For me, to suit up, show up, make the effort and say, this is me. This is me. I can't afford to care if you like this is me or not. This is my voice. This is my presence. If you like it or not, I care more about me liking it than you not liking it. Now, don't get me wrong. That has been a journey. You know, I've done what probably I suggest to people is not to do, you know, but I got involved with somebody in the fellowship and I was 9 years sober, but it absolutely brutally emotionally done my head in, really did, you know, thoughts of suicide, you know, even then. Didn't drink, but I was in a mess. You know, I got a mesh and I got really attached and all that codependent stuff. That really woke me up though, but because if that hadn't happened, I wouldn't have been aware of my codependency. So ironically, these things are given to me sometimes as gifts of life, sometimes explosions or sometimes little kind of, whatever you call them, light bulb moments. Yeah, sure, this is probably the middle ground. And relationships with the opposite sex has been my main thing to work on. And I wouldn't say sadly, but, you know, it's been 3 years since I've not been in a relationship. With somebody in the dancing scene. I've been dancing 18 years, tango for the last eight. And when we split as well, that takes me a long time to get over, you know, somebody and the lesson. But anyway, so the relationship, going back in the relationships, I treated my stepfather abysmally, you know, really, and my brothers, you know, and what's happened as a consequence of that there, they gravitated towards my mum. And so today, there's just a neutral, practical relationship I have with my brothers, as in, I only seen them at weddings and funerals probably, and I haven't seen my other brother for many, many years. Now, I'm a different person than I was. And part of me thinks that would be great if it was different, you know, and more the family. But the reality is, it might never be like that. And the reality is, I need to develop connections with myself and other people that have that similar bond as a family. You know, the relationship with my mum is, it's 80, 90 times better. Initially, when I got sober, it was like really painful because I knew she didn't really do anything to me, but I did really feel abandoned with her. I did feel abandoned to the point where back in the early 80s, I left her household because of the stereotypical approach that it had to my stepdad, and I left, blah, blah. And I didn't feel wanted by her at all, you know. But I see she came from a drinking family of drinking as well. So she, you know, I've heard my granddad shouting at my granny, her being pickled with a drink, and, you know, my dad's side, they were drinkers. I spoke to cousins. And they tell me when I see them, yeah, there was lots of drinking went on in the family. I'm the only, as far as I know, my brothers have never attended AA. So I really believe it's something in my psyche, my personality, that led me to doing things that were self-destructive. It's not like that today, though. Don't get me wrong. I have negative thoughts. I get anxious. But I do have the capacity today to try and develop strategies and skills and techniques that don't lead me to the point where I'm really immersed in all that stuff. Anecdotally, I've had issues with a guy at work over, I mean, we're not speaking months. This has been years since he started working. But the good thing is, I feel I'm a different person by looking at that. And a lot of it is due to my defensiveness. You know, going in there, being defensive. And I realize it helps. It doesn't help at all. So I, as a person, I mean, he's a twat. He is. He's a sullen-faced twat. You know, and I'm not the only one who thinks that. But regardless, if I speak to 20 folk and they feel the same, if that makes me feel uneasy, it's my responsibility to get my shit together. So I've tried to work on not being so defensive around him, or not even around him, even when I get home. He takes up too much space in my head. So I'll try and make people aware, and even myself, because it kind of confirms to me that it is worthwhile staying sober. And not just because of the things we do, but the strength I believe I can gain by being a person who doesn't drink alcohol or take drugs. When I first came around, I could hardly string two sentences together. That was the truth. I kept everything inside. I played it safe because I was fear, for example, I was scared of that you would dissect what I'm saying, shame me, you would judge me for it, you would use it against me, you would humiliate me, embarrass me, or whatever. All that nonsense that, you know, is extreme. The fact is, I haven't got a clue what anybody in this meeting, you know, thinks about me. You know? But I do believe if I open up and share, there's a good chance that somebody, maybe one, two, three, or even more, but I don't know the more, might get something from it. So that's why I practice speaking. So I opened up, I spoke, I was able to, you know, gradually build up a little bit of inner confidence, and I was able to practice listening. And then people would say, well, why don't you use your brain? And, talking about the brain, I got beaten up badly one time, you know, and I remember the nurse coming around, the nurse saying, you've got a hematoma or something about a hematoma, you know, bleeding the brain or something. I can't remember. So just an idea where I was. But yeah, anyway, why don't you use your brain or do something with it? So went to college, got a qualification. And then a couple of people were saying, who were at university at the time, why don't you go to university? And then I thought to myself, yeah, I can at least apply. And that's what I did. And I got myself a degree in psychology, you know, at one of the universities in Aberdeen. And that led me to, you know, kind of social care, social work. And with that, I worked with the homeless for a while. I worked in an alcohol rehab. I must admit, at that point in time in my life, looking back, I was a bit out of my depth. But that's okay to admit that, you know. And then I felt it was kind of getting stale. And I went to the other university and where I am, and I got a postgrad in information analysis of all things. But I'm no academic by any means at all, you know. But I do like the sense of achievement that goes from knowing, if I want to get from A to G, you know, it's not going to miraculously happen. You know, I need to put in appropriate actions. And I say that because it's good to compare and contrast. When I was drinking and drugging as well, you know, when your head's absolutely buckled, you know, there's absolutely no way I would have even contemplated these things because I was so immersed in, you know, getting over the hangover and then having no area where I could, feel a sense of, you know, that's enough. It was like, get over the hangover and just back into it. So got these qualifications. And then since then, I've been in different roles, different jobs, sober. I've been a fitness, I was a fitness instructor about 12 years ago. What else have I done? Now, I work in a park. I work in a park, and I go to some newer meetings pretty regular over the last year. And and I'll sometimes just zoom in, and I'm just walking about, and I'm just listening to the meeting. It's good, mate. It's good to just get connected that way. You know, I'm really fortunate that way. What else have I done? It's kind of good for me at the end of a year to kind of take stock what I've done in a particular year, you know. I mean, I've got the tinsel here. It's just, fuck. It creates a little bit of warmth in a house, you know, but I'm not religious at all, to say the least, you know. But anyway, I thought, you know. But what have I done? I did a Spartan event, for example, this year, you know, and I knew that would not have happened if I'd done the training for it. You know, so I train pretty regularly for 3 or 4 months. Yeah, and I've got the photographs, you know, as evidence and the sense of achievement afterwards. And it was great fun. 8 years ago, I joined Toastmasters, public speaking, you know, and for a person like me, you know, God, public speaking, you have got to be joking. But for me, that's like trusting the process. Here's another cheesy phrase. We're not meant to see around corners, you know, and I really believe that. I've got to trust that whatever journey I'm going, you know, it's maybe going to be all right if I do the right things. So I went to Toastmasters, I was there for a couple of years, and it built my confidence, but I left, and it's like anything, habits. If I don't keep at it, I'm going to get weaker. So I joined again, and I feel I've gained a strength from it. So one of the pluses is, one of the electives that asked me to do was that you could choose to do a podcast. Now, I did a podcast recently. Now, I've only done one. So if anybody's in a meeting here and knows about podcasts, get in touch with me, please, because I'd really like to take it forward. I really would. I love connecting people. And people have listened to it. If you're interested, let me know, and I can put you on. It's on Spotify. And I think I've got a good skill, talent that way of bringing out things from people, you know, teasing out, you know, just listening, teasing out stuff from folk. Yeah, I've been dancing as well. I've been dancing 18 years. I absolutely love it. Argentine tango the last 8 years. And for myself, I've got to be honest, I was thoughts just period, you know, and I controlled the whole thing. But I was thinking, what can I share today? You know, when Mark asked me. And for me, one of the principles I've learned that is, if I really want to get something, a sense of achievement, or get something in my life, you know, I really need to practice being bold, or I really need to trust putting myself out there. And this is just for me, because I know the rewards of doing that. So if I want something, I need to trust that to get from A to D, I need to ask certain people. I need to research the particular information. My brain needs to take in that information. But I do believe when I do that, I'll get from A to D, because I'm gathering information, I'm gathering confidence, I'm gathering trust in the whole process. And it's worked for me. That's worked for me, because I really believe it being sober. It's like being a scientist. I need to get out there and fucking experiment, you know, do different things. You know, here's another one. Sorry, I've done about 4 or 5 cliches, so they're like, so forgive me. Keep doing the same thing, you'll get the same result. If I keep doing the same thing, I'll get the same result. So I'm ready to write off another one. I'm still a work in progress. Still a definite work in progress. You know, and that's all right. That's all right. So when I'm at today, I'm over my ex. I think I probably am-ish. I don't go to tango though, so I'm not sure. I'm a little bit uncomfortable about seeing her and our partner who goes to tango as well. But I still dance. There is still dancing. I actually DJ now and again as well. Love music. Music is my medicine, along with exercise. I love soul music. Yeah, Living Sober is probably one of my favourite books, so that's what they say there. Listen to some soul music. And it's not just your traditional, your normal soul music. It's just, you know, rare stuff. Absolutely love soul music. And ironically, Marvin Gaye's What's Going On is probably one of my favourite albums. And it's got, you know, religious overtones in it there, but it's not, it's just the kind of, his singing and just the power behind it. You know, he talks about ecology great album. My journey towards secular has been because I'm open-minded, I believe, subjectively, to exploring different things in my life. I like the idea of being a positive skeptic. I read something on psychology today and I like that. Yeah, I like that. I'll label myself that, positive skeptic, you know. I get a mental part on my forehead when I go to meetings and I hear language that says, if you're not doing it this way, you're not really doing it the right way. But if you say the right things, you'll be in this club, you'll be in the right club. And I think, oh, fuck, no, sorry. It's not really a club that I really want to be associated with, a metaphorical club. I want to be in amongst people who are just saying really what's on their mind, you know, that really they are expressing what's going on in their heart. And then I realized I need to practice that, you know. I need to practice that regardless of where I am. So I love the Zoom meetings. I'm not as connected as I would like to be to folk in the Tusnu and others, like, you know, but hopefully this will help, you know, because, yeah, it really is helpful for me. It's not an easy time for me this time of year. I feel better just now. I've actually been in the sea. I've been doing outdoor swimming for the last year. I've been in the sea. It was a lovely 11 degrees and I went in the skins, but and I feel I need to do things today that lifts my vibration, that lifts my mood, you know. And only do it maybe on average once a week, but it's like an event, and you know, and I really enjoy it. But I did it yesterday as well. So there we go. Hopefully somebody's got something like that. But it helps me anyway to share and speak. Thanks. Cheers.